Let's just take a text of scriptures to lead our prayer meeting for today. The book of John chapter 15 from verse 4. Abide in me, he says, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. He said, apart from me, you can do what? Nothing. All right? Please just bear that in mind. He said, abide in me and then make sure that I am abiding in you. Actually, what he was saying is that it's automatic. If you abide in Christ Jesus, automatically he is abiding in you. Also, let's quickly flip over to the one we read all the time, the book of Colossians chapter 1. The mystery of the ages. If anyone is listening to this, do not forget to listen to all the other ones we have in the series. One of them titled Only in Christ. And then last time we spoke about, we titled it, I Can Do All Things. That is at the end. It was supposed to be a prayer meeting, but we ended up doing most of teaching. All right. It says that in verse 26, I'm just jumping in the middle now. He said, what I'm preaching is the mystery which has been hidden, it says, from the past ages and generations, but now has been manifested to his saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of his glory, of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And this is the mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is a summary of that, of everything that Paul was trying to teach, going here and there, is to let people understand that Christ in them is what? The hope of glory. What that means is that whatever it is that you're expecting in life comes from your abiding in Christ. That's what it was saying. That what you are expecting in life will not be fulfilled because you worked hard. That's, you see, the word glory, all right? That's what it means. Glory describes the blessing of God, the manifestation of divine power in your life. All right? And what Christians are supposed to experience in life, he said the law came by Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. That is what God wants, is that everything that we'll experience in life will be as a result of his grace. And that is what we call glory. That is when God's power is manifested in your life, then you are experiencing, all right, the grace of God. He said, I am what I am by the grace of God. And that grace is his power working towards me. That's what Paul was saying, all right? I am what I am by the grace of God. All right, so that's what God wants Christians to experience. So I was saying, therefore, that any good thing in life you can ever imagine will come because you are abiding in Christ Jesus. We explained that the word Christ is not just, of course, first of all, is a title, but it's more than a title. Like if you go to a hospital, somebody, you go there and want to talk to Dr. Frank. Frank is his name, doctor is his title. So Christ is a title. It describes the function he performs. It describes the office he holds, all right, in life. So I said Christ is also beyond the title. It describes a sphere of existence in which natural laws don't take preeminence. Are you getting my point? When we say natural laws, this is what I like to say all the time as an example. There's an order set into life, all right? Orders are set into life by words. You get my point? At the beginning, God made certain declarations and they're still working. And then along the line, people make declarations. God himself will make declarations. That's what I want you to understand something here. It's very funny what I want to say. There are curses that God placed on the earth and he has not directly revoked them. Do you follow my point? Yet, there are people who will walk, for example, that God may say that this place will never be inhabited. There's no time he said it will not be inhabited. But the people walking in Christ will go in there, inhabit the place, and you think that God forgot what he said. I don't know what I get my point. The reason is that others set in motion, all right? They become ineffective when you get into Christ Jesus. That's the point I'm trying to explain. So there are a lot of things that are natural in life, and that's just the natural way things are supposed to be. But they don't work when they are in Christ. I listened to one man when I went to minister in his program in IMT. over the weekend, and one man, an American, was ministering also there. He preached, and I was so impressed. He had I was really blessed. I was so blessed, all right? He described, just by the way, how he had persecution in the church. He was pastoring the United States. And one of the problems, in fact, he started when he ordained a woman as a minister in the church. Are you getting my point? Yes, he did. Now, if you go down to most of the Old Testament and most places in life, that doesn't occur. And that was a Baptist church. I think a Baptist church. And they're not used to such things. So they kicked him out. Are you getting my point? Now, what I'm bringing up the issue is that may be the natural order. But in Christ Jesus, he said, neither female nor male mean anything. Are you getting my point? It's Christ that is all. So Christ is the realm in which all those things are ineffective, those natural laws. So you find out, therefore, everything you can ever imagine. And this is another thing I should really say. All the troubles of life. In fact, I like the way Bishop Oyedepo used to say it, that Satan was cast down to where? To the earth. So he only causes problems on the earth. Now, let me add my own to it now. Therefore, if you want to escape from the problems of Satan, you have to walk in a realm beyond him. Are you getting my point? So Jesus said, if you abide in me, that's what I'm saying. If you pack your load, you take all your things from the former house you were staying, and you come into a new house, and that house is called in me. Are you getting what I'm saying? There, you find out that Satan does not have any power over you. Not because he has retired, but because you are living in a realm where his power is ineffective. And that realm is called what? Christ. Are you getting me? So everything, that's why I brought up that issue. If a Christian wants to have success or glory or, how do I say it now? If he wants to experience the glory of God throughout his life, all he needs to do is to be careful to constantly abide in Christ Jesus. It is not because you labor, let me now get back to that, that you succeed in life. No. You succeed as a manifestation of the presence of Christ in you. That's why Paul said, Christ in you is what? The hope of glory. Do you get my point? You don't live long because they told you that your generation, your great-grandfather lived to be 110 years. Your father, you were dead at that time. He did not die until he was about 99. And that was even a mistake. All right? And they said, look, listen, I'm from a generation of people that live long. A cow will soon kill you. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And you will understand that no matter what your generations are like, when a truck hits them, they also squash like anybody else. Do you know what I'm trying to explain? But then why will you escape from those things? I told you, there are no accidents in life. You will escape simply because you are not dependent upon your natural lineage to experience blessings in life, but you are dependent upon what? Abiding in Christ Jesus. Therefore, if Christ is in you, are you getting my point? Paul said, even though the body is subject to death because of sin, yet the spirit will give it life because of righteousness. Are you getting my point? And it's very important that we continually remind ourselves of that. So, whatever it is that we are going to experience in life, we say it will be because of the experience or the expression of the Christ that is in us. That's what we've been teaching here and there all this while. And we can never say this thing enough. In fact, I believe that it's one of the major problems we have in Christianity, that we don't have enough understanding along these lines. We focus on many things. You know, we easily get sidetracked. Let me tell you something about Christianity. It's very funny. Somebody said that, I think it was Ravi Zacharias that was saying it or was quoting somebody. He was saying that the problem with Christianity is that people haven't tested it. Are you getting my point? They've tried every other thing, but they've not really tested the power of God. In fact, you know, according to John G. Lake, it's easy to make excuses why we are not experiencing the power of God. He said, what you should do is to pay the price and experience the power of God. Now, I'm bringing up something here. So when we start walking in the days of John the Baptist, I was teaching them in IMT that day, that you are walking in the days of John the Baptist, sometimes it appears like the power of God has not yet been manifested. So we often easily get sidetracked. We start learning from worldly people. I'm sorry to say it. We start learning worldly principles. And then we start explaining that you have to apply wisdom. After you have learned the word of God, you also learn this one. We start learning it so that what we're trying to do is that since this world is not quickly producing. Now the problem with using worldly problem methods is that not that they won't get results, but they are operating under the realm, you know, of Satan, where Satan has been cast down into, and one day it will fail. Are you getting what I'm saying? Adam was going to get results by sweating. Right or wrong? And that's what God said. Adam, you will eat, but after you have sweated. You get what I'm saying? Now, so it's not so we get into that a lot of times because we are not patient to experience the real power of Christ. All right. So when we're struggling with Adam, listen. If you're a black man, as an example, and you're struggling with the principles of Adam, when you get to the society of white people, they will discriminate against you, and it will affect your business. Yes, because you are using the natural method. You are working in the earthly fashion. But if it's through the manifestation of Christ, whether you are white, yellow, black, purple, red, indigo, or which other color is there? Fuchsia, pink, turquoise, thank you, lilac. No matter the color that you are, you get my point? Those who want to discriminate against you will find it impossible. Not because, you know, somebody explained something that you see, we're talking about, was it Adam now? Okay, let me not go into that anyway. But no, well, you've heard me say this a lot of times. That people say that dress well when you want to go for an interview. And look, listen, I believe in dressing well. But I believe in dressing well because dressing well is good. You get what I'm saying? It's fundamentally good, all right? It shouldn't look like the troubles of life. They packed it at your doorsteps. Do you follow my point? I believe in it. But it does not guarantee anything. And I say all the time that if Adam showed up stark naked before the fall, they wouldn't even notice. They would not be able to resist the aura of his presence. So when a man is walking in Christ, even though he gets to where everybody wants to discriminate against him, they will not be able to resist the aura of his presence. But the other day, I prayed one very dangerous prayer about my life. I just felt angry. If anybody decides for any natural reason to discriminate against me, may God dislodge him from his seat. The gist will soon spread. That guy, anytime you antagonize him, you lose your seat. You get what I'm trying to explain? That's what we're talking about. What? Abiding in whom? In Christ Jesus. That's what we've been discussing now. I don't want to teach again today. Let's just, I just want to remind us of what we've been saying again and again. So what we do is that we write these things into the air. We inscribe them upon the surface of the sky by the words that we speak. All right? And those words, they testify concerning what we really believe, whether we believe what we are saying, all right, or we don't. It's also shown by the words that we speak. So, as part of our prayer for today, what we are going to do, we did that the other time, we titled it Only in Christ 1 Prayer. Then today is going to be Only in Christ 2. Let's pray some more. Now, last time I began to talk about the matter of challenges in life. What I've been explaining here is simple. Challenges will come. Amen? Yeah, they will. They always come. But last time, remember what we read from? Where was that? Philippians chapter 4. Let's just read that and then we get into our teaching and our praying. If you are there, say, Hey, the Lord is good. let me read from verse 10. It said, but I rejoice with a deep and holy joy that now at length you have revived your thoughtfulness for my welfare. Indeed, you have always been thoughtful of me, although opportunity failed you. I do not refer to this through fear of privation. Except for my part, I have learned, whatever be my outward experiences, to be content. The one I wanted to read, Wiz, says to be independent of circumstances. Verse 12, it says, I know both how to live in humble circumstances and how to live amid abundance. This is the Weymouth translation I'm reading. It said, I am fully initiated into all the mysteries, both of fullness and of hunger, of abundance and of want. He said, I have strength for anything through him who gives me power. All right? I read that the other time. I just wanted to read it. I was hoping I could get the Weymouth translation. It's so beautiful there. He said, I've learned the mystery, all right, both of fullness. I've been fully initiated into that the mystery. That is, there is a method. That's what he was explaining. What he was saying is that I can do all of these things. I can tackle abundance. I can tackle poverty. I can do all of these things because of him who gives me strength. We just read here, Philippians, John chapter 15, that without me, you can do nothing. Therefore, you should abide in me. Last time we were developing this, that challenges come in life, and we can tackle every challenge, not because we are naturally, you get my point, capable, but because in Christ Jesus we can do literally all things. I told the story, did I? I think I did, of Peter Daniels, who naturally was a dullard. Naturally, he was. Not only was he a dullard, you know, spiritual, you know what they call generational curses? You know, I've told you before. They are real. Amen? But that's for those who are out of Christ. You're either in Christ or you are out, all right, of Christ. If you are out, it's real. You should be afraid. Once Bishop Michael Okonkwo was preaching in Winners Chapel, they had a convention. I was present. So when he was going to make an altar call, he said, "You are living in this Lagos and you are not born again. You are very bold." That's what he said. "That you must be bold. That means I can't try to live in a dangerous city like this and don't have protection." You understand? So, out there, all right, there are generational curses. They are present. Peter Daniel said that he came from a family where a lot of his uncles were in prison. Now, everybody is universally poor. That's not to be discussed. He was his father, his uncle, his father's brother. That's his uncle. That's his mother's brother too. The uncle and the dad. Everybody problem there. Yeah, you get my point? He said the routine, going to jail is routine. They tried to send him to school. School did not agree to absorb him. He went there physically, but psychologically, mentally, spiritually, the thing did not enter. His teachers were tired until he heard that as a child of a king, he could do anything. As a 20-something-year-old man, he began to read. Up till the time I heard him teach, he was about 70 years of age, he had read over 3,500 biographies. He educated himself. He wrote a book because his teacher said he was a brain stupid child. He wrote a book titled "Miss Phillips, You Were Wrong." Are you getting my point? Miles Monroe said his teacher told him that he's a monkey, he will never do well. A white teacher, I'm telling you. Once he was in UK, he was signing books, you know, book presenter, he was signing books. And finally, a white man on the queue waited to buy his book and have him sign it. The man paused. Now, when he got to the man asked to speak with him. "So, who are you, sir?" He reminded that it was that teacher who called you a monkey that you can never do well. So he looked at the man and said, "I didn't do too bad." That's Miles Monroe. I don't have to tell you about Miles Monroe. He said, "Hey, don't mind those white people. Mind them." A normal, typical African man decrease. He not get sense. Only in Christ Jesus do we have sense. Yes, I'm telling you. Only in Christ Jesus do we have what? Sense. Without him, we can do nothing. Some of the sense we seem to have without being in him are the ones that fell. Crumbs fall from the children's table. I hope you know that. A lot of people got developed because crumbs were falling from the missionary's table. They didn't give their lives to Christ, but crumbs fell and they ate it. And then I said that we too, we had our own technology. I said, "Get away, my friend. When you're making drums, men were making railway, train, inventing cars. All you were still doing was carving canoe and tying." Get away. But the story is simple. This is where I'm going. That in Christ Jesus, we can do what? Anything. Peter Daniels, Miles Monroe, I'm just giving their testimonies. So that when the word of God came to them, Peter Daniels became so sharp in mind that once he consulted and they paid him $1 million to talk to people for 10 minutes. Do you get what I'm saying? In Christ, you can do what? All things. So that's what we are prayed about. We are declaring it, that we believe it. I said last time and I emphasized it. If you're a student, please go and get that message. You are not stupid. Did I hear an amen? There's nothing you can't understand. Did I hear an amen? And I remember I said, don't try to pass exams. It's nonsense. You shouldn't try. You should learn. Seek first the kingdom of learning and all other passing shall be added unto you. That's the word of God. One day man told me, he said his father tried, sent him, maybe his grandfather sent his father to secondary school. His father has sent him to, he was able to get an OND, and that he's hoping that he's trying for his children. He should be able to get an HND or BS, then their own children will get a master's. I was looking at him. I said, this man, you have no Christ. Yes, only Muslims should talk like this. In Christ Jesus, you don't talk that nonsense. He was a military officer when I was doing my youth service. He was driving me in his car that day and was telling me, like, and I knew he was content with how far he had come in life. He was quarter commissioned. You know what they call quarter commissioning? Oh, you don't know what they call quarter commissioning? Those of us who were in the army, we know. You know? He was a captain. He will soon retire. By age. You know why? If you are now in the army, if you enter through the NDA, you go the normal way, you get a first degree and all of that. You're a combatant soldier, you know, like that. You can become a general. Is that okay? But if you entered, you now became what they call a non-commissioned officer. All right. Along the way, you now went to school. Maybe the man was already a staff sergeant when he finally got some level of education. They now commissioned him as an officer. They call it quarter commissioning. They put bar. They get one. They can never, and you never cross major in your life. I think it's major. They stop you there. Usually, whether they stop you or not, you'll have been too old that time. They retire you. But that time, he had reached captain, so Babangida gave him a car too. Remember IBB Spirit? When he gave cars to all the military officers. So he was driving me in it. I was serving in his barracks. I remember my youth service. And I'm telling him, I knew he was happy with how far he had come. Old man, captain. He was very happy. Now, I'm not saying he shouldn't be content. You know, there's contentment and there's complacency. His own was complacency. He never believed he could come this far in life. And the only dream he had for his children that if I can go beyond what my father did for me, I gave them first degree. I just nod, yes, sir. In my mind, you are very foolish, sir. But, yes, sir. Another lament, you know, I was so disappointed. You have no vision. That's what sin and iniquity does to people. It closes their ability to reason. No vision. In Christ Jesus, it does not matter whether your father couldn't count 1 to 10. You can be a professor. Are you getting my point? That's how people that are redeemed, that's how we reason. That's how we reason. Not only can you be a professor, you can own universities. And that will be owning them part-time. You're too busy, so you appoint somebody else to be visitor to the university while you focus on other things. In Christ Jesus, we can do what? All things. So let's rise to our feet. I'm beginning to talk too much. We did all this talking last time. So I said, you can learn anything. First of all, let's just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you because I am in Christ. Say it loud like you believe it. Say, I thank you because I am in Christ. In him I live. In live I move. In him I have my being. I am not just a natural man. I have been born of the Spirit. Say it like you believe it. I have been born of the Spirit. My ancestors, these are their names. Abraham, Christ Jesus. By faith, I am their descendant. By faith, I am a child of God. I have the blood of Christ running through my veins. I am not just a natural person, but the grace of God is working in me. I abide in Christ Jesus, and I am an overcomer. I abide in Christ Jesus, and I am above the devil. I abide in Christ Jesus, and I am above all his works. Say, Christ is in me. Even though the body is subject to death because of sin, yet the Spirit of God in me is giving it life because of righteousness. Say, I have life flowing in me because I am in Christ. I can do all things because I am in Christ. Say, Christ is in me. That is the hope of my glory. Because Christ is in me and because I am in Christ, the Spirit of triumph is my portion. The power to overcome is my portion. Say, I can bear abundance. I can bear poverty. In all circumstances,
I am not moved.
I am not moved.
Because I am like Mount Zion.
Because I am like Mount Zion.
Because of the spirit that is in me.
Because
I dwell in Christ.
And because Christ dwells in me.
Say, I can face the furnace of Nebuchadnezzar.
I can walk therein.
And I will not be burnt.
I can walk into the lion's den.
Like Daniel.
And I will not be eaten up.
Because the spirit of Christ is in me.
Because the spirit of the overcomer is in me.
I am an overcomer.
I have overcome.
I am triumphant in Christ Jesus.
I am not afraid of the issues of this life.
I am not afraid of tomorrow.
Because I'm in Christ Jesus.
Christ is in me.
Even though men may say I will fail.
Because of my natural disadvantages.
But in Christ Jesus,
they mean nothing.
Say it, in Christ Jesus,
my natural advantages mean nothing.
My natural disadvantages mean nothing.
I don't hold on to my advantages.
I am not succeeding because I work hard.
I work hard because diligence is my nature.
Let me emphasize to us again, Christians, we do what is right. You know, that's the problem. When you tell people that, one brother told me, after I finished teaching, he said, well, finally he got my point. He said, he thought I used to say that Christians did not need to give. I almost fell down. You know, because the way I preach about giving and all of that. He said, because what was in his mind is that the only reason why people give is so they will get. So after I debunked that theory that you're getting is dependent on your giving, he saw no need to give again. You get my point? I say it again, your getting is not because you are actively trying to give so as to get. Christians do what is right because of what? Because they are right. We do what is right because they are right. We are not diligent at work because we want promotion. That is satanism. My wife says I use very powerful, very strong words, but that's the only way to break into strong heads. Is worldliness, is satanic to be diligent because you are looking for promotion. Are you getting my point? Whether you are looking for promotion or not, a Christian is diligent. Are you getting my point? Whether you are looking for receiving or not, a Christian is a giver. Are you getting my point? If you are able to count money that you are giving, never begin give. I don't care. I know you gave 1 million naira in the last 3 months and all you earned was 1.1 million. I don't give a hoot. You are still counting. Giving is not yet your nature. It's still an active thing. How many breaths did you take the last 15 minutes? Okay, you can't remember that. How many steps did you take to come up here? But you know when you are exercising, they give you a machine that counts your steps for you. You want to lose weight. Philips has made it how to monitor your activity because you are trying to shed weight. You see, when giving becomes a matter I'm trying to shed weight, you are not yet a giver. You have not been converted. You are trying. Are you getting my point? But when you are sick and under anesthesia, the anesthetist is counting. They'll be recording the breath. 15 per minute, it has dropped to 6. Hey, acute respiratory failure. Begin to assist. That's an abnormal situation. When Christians are doing this, they can count. Father, yesterday I gave this person money. You will repay me. Just not say you are spiritually sick. You need an anesthetist. An intensive care. You get my point? So that's why, you see, I said our strengths in Christ, they mean nothing. That's what I was saying. Our advantages. So you say, I'm so hardworking. I know by this time I would have gotten a PhD. Your supervisor will sick. Your supervisor will just fall sick. And your dean wants to move to another supervisor. You will discover that that area is so specialized, only that man. That's it. 1 year, you're hanging, waiting for a specialized man to recover. To let you know that it's not you are your labor. Are you getting my point? In Christ Jesus, we don't count those things. You read because you are supposed to read. God gave you a brain not to watch home video. I'm telling you, in fact, I'm going to ban Christians from watching these Nigerian home movies. They are designed to make sure you are constantly mentally retarded. That's my opinion. A story can tell in 15 minutes, tell it in 4 hours. I was telling someone when we were young, we used to, as a 13, not, God is my witness, I'm not joking. As a 12-year-old boy, my friends and I would be fighting over the number of pay setters and James and the chase we had read. I was telling him the other day, this is what the children do. Man, you, Arsenal, 12-year-old boy, what is your father's problem with Arsenal? You sit down there, they don't read anymore. Christians should be educated. Amen?
Amen?
You should learn. You should know stuff. You should know history. You should know current affairs. You should know things. Walking around making people think that Christians are ignoramuses. We'll not go and hide. I tell you, a lot of people go to churches because of laziness. There are churches they go to. Like a lot of churches, they always blame your enemies. People don't want to take personal responsibility. So they look for a pastor that will tell you, it's not your problem, it's your enemy's problem. It's not your fault. You are getting what I'm saying?
Yes,
we do what is right because it's our nature. That's what I'm trying to explain. We don't read just because we want to try and impress somebody. We read because that's our nature. People come and give testimonies. I didn't know anything, yet I passed. God, I know God did it for you, amen? But you know what he said when he did it? He said, see that you tell no man. You hear so? Because I don't like stupid people passing. When I passed Daniel, Ananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who became Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I did not pass them by grace. You know what I mean? I passed them by infusing grace first into their brain, and their brain decoded all the matters. And then when the teachers came, the teachers were flawed. And when they multiplied their marks by 10, it now became equal. That by the time they multiplied the other people's marks by 10, it became equal to this people's own. They were 10 times better. And that's how I like to do it too. Do you understand? You tell the Lord, yes, sir. Say, this miracle, where I do for you, I won't do it again. And don't tell anybody. The Lord is good. Christians, we do things because they are what? We do things because they are what?
Right.
We don't do them because of the results we want to get from them. We do them because they are what? They are right. All right? So that's what we're praying. Let's continue. Say,
In Christ Jesus,
I don't rely on my own strength.
I don't rely on my own diligence.
And I am not hindered by my weaknesses. I cannot be set back even by my mistakes. Say,
In Christ Jesus,
my mistakes, they become stepping stones.
In the name of Jesus Christ,
I am an overcomer.
I can handle every challenge in life.
If you're a student, this is important. If you are not, you have to say it also, that there is nothing I can't understand. Albert Einstein is not more intelligent than me. I don't make it as a joke. That's not supposed to be a joke. I don't mean that as a joke. In Christ Jesus, there's nothing you can't understand. I told the story at that time of John Washington Carver. I heard the story recently. I went and searched out on him. I read about him. The man was known for reading his Bible in the laboratory. He invented more things than most men that ever lived. He was born a slave and grew under the intense racial discrimination that America had immediately after slavery. Yet, in those kind of days, the man addressed the Congress and they listened to him. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Why was it like that? Because there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty gives him what? Understanding. So say,
there is a spirit in me.
The spirit of Christ is in me. It gives me the inspiration of God.
Therefore, I have understanding.
Therefore, I have understanding.
Therefore, I can solve difficult problems.
Say after me, say, as a student,
there's no learning I can't undertake.
There's no written book I can't understand.
Say,
as a businessman,
there's no difficulty I can't decode.
Because the Spirit of Christ is in me. Listen, I told you that Christ is not just a name, it includes the wisdom of Solomon. So if Christ is in you, you will experience the manifestation of Solomon type of wisdom. Are you getting my point? Imagine, I keep on saying this, imagine that Joseph was a stockbroker. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yes, that he was a businessman. He could read events through dreams and interpretation. Those manifestations are still present. I was discussing with my wife the other day. All right? somebody told him some things, and the person needed some money for some issues. I said, listen, this fellow doesn't need the money the way I can see it.